Our text is from the fifth chapter of the letter to the Galatians. It is printed in your service folder. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is God's word. We've come to the end of our series of homilies on what St. Paul identifies as the fruits of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians. And the subject today is self-control. It's a little ironic because some who know me would say that I am decidedly unqualified to discuss this subject. In my defense, I think that as I've grown older, I have gained a little bit of self-control. But I don't know if that's because I'm more spiritually mature or if it's because I can't stay up as late as I used to. Self-control. The self is an interesting creature. If you took all the unique characteristics that make up each one of us and melted them together, what you'd end up with is a self. Your self is who we are on the inside, privately. And the self is how we are different from everybody else, publicly, on the outside. And as much as we like to note all the good things that are true about ourself, we must acknowledge that there are also some sort of negative characteristics about the self, like stubbornness and egotistic behavior. But really, that's not the worst of it. The biggest problem is the fact that the self has been corrupted by sin. And as a result now, we are spiritually blind. We just can't see God on the horizon. And we're spiritually dead by nature. We don't have an impulse for God. And in fact, we are spiritually the enemies of God. And that's what makes the self such a bucking bronco, so often completely out of control. And that's also why when we see somebody practicing a little self-control or any of the other Christian virtues that have been the subjects in this series, we're kind of stopped in our tracks. And we think to ourselves, wow, that really is a little unnatural. That really is a gift. Well, what it is the fruit of the Spirit. I know a woman who used to work in a bank. She was making loans. And she worked with a group of younger women who were the tellers in the bank. And this group of young women, they were not church people. And their morals, particularly their sexual behavior, their lifestyle, their language, these were really in pretty sharp contrast to the woman I'm talking about. She was a little older, she was married, she was a mom. But most importantly, she acted and spoke and conducted business as a Christian. And one day, one of the young tellers came up to her and said, "Was your father a minister?" She said, "No." And the young woman asked, "Well, how did you get that way?" If you and I practice the virtues that Paul is talking about, self-control or any of the others, how did you get that way? Maybe this will illustrate. Just imagine as you're walking out of chapel today, in the crowd, you meet a stranger who quietly whispers to you, "I love you." And then at lunch, that same stranger walks by your table carrying a tray of dishes and says, "I love you." And you meet the stranger in the chapel or at the library in the afternoon. The message is the same, "I love you." And in the exercise room at the gym, in the lobby, in the dorm, the message is the same, "I love you." I'll bet two things would begin to happen. First of all, you would begin to be impressed with the sincerity of that stranger. And secondly, I think you would begin to respond with a reciprocal emotion. I think that's just plain old human nature, even among sinners like us who are self-centered rather than self-controlled. Now, what if you added into that equation the creative, life-giving, faith-generating power of God Almighty Himself? Well, when you were baptized, God said to you, "I love you." Every time you commune, He says, "I love you." And when you worship in the chapel, when you read the Bible, when you have a private devotion, when you hear the gospel, God is saying to you, "I love you with all my heart. And I forgive all your sins for the sake of Christ. And I'm with you every day. And when you die, I'll take you to be with me in heaven. And I'm doing all of that because of Jesus Christ. Because He lived a perfect life in your place. And I'm giving you the credit for that. Because He died on the cross to be punished for your sins. So I'm going to forgive them all. Because He rose from the dead on Easter morning to give you this assurance that it's all true. And now Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into your life to work through the means of grace and to change you from an unbeliever into a Christian and to show you how to live your life and even to help you do it." Living a Christian life does not come naturally to us. Controlling our corrupted self does not come naturally to us. Believing in Jesus Christ does not come naturally to us. But our Christian faith is a gift from God the Holy Spirit. And every Christian virtue is the fruit of the same Spirit, the result of Christian faith. So if they ask you, "How did you get that way?" you can tell them, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so often self-centered rather than self-controlled. Forgive us for that. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, also strengthen us in our resolve and in our lives to obey you and live for you. And let this all be the fruit of faith, our response to your great love for us in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.